Good morning, everyone. My name is Juan Gaitán, and I'm Cellnex Head of Investor Relations. I would like to thank you all for joining us today for our H1 2017 results conference call. I'm joined today by José Manuel Aisa, CFO and M&A Director, who will lead today's presentation. We have earlier posted a presentation, which we will refer to throughout our prepared remarks, and then we'll open the line for a Q&A session. The total duration scheduled for this session is 1 hour, so after this time, I will be at your complete disposal to answer any remaining questions. So now, please, José Manuel.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your time today. Let me please start by highlighting the main milestones of the period on slide 4. We have again posted a solid set of results in line with consensus, and we continue to reach a strategic partnership with key European players. We continue to generate a strong organic growth in line with our guidance. We see the European tower outsourcing process accelerating, and we are glad to announce a new agreement, the extension of our cooperation with Bouygues Telecom in France by acquiring 600 additional sites. 2 months ago, we entered into a strategic partnership with Sunrise, based on a unique master service agreement, which we are expecting to close in the coming weeks. And we have also strengthened our position in Italy by acquiring the remaining 10% stake in Galata, previously owned by Wind Tre. We are improving the visibility of our future organic growth in the context of our strategic agreement with Sunrise through a build-to-suit program for 400 sites, 200 DAS nodes contracted, and a right to match under force support Sunrise on its future small cells and DAS needs in Switzerland. We continue to lead a unique value proposition in the European tower landscape based on tailored MSAs, a full network service approach, neutrality, and a very strong relationship with our customers with a long-term view. We are also reaffirming our 2017 guidance. We should also include Cellnex Switzerland's contribution upon closing. On slide 5, you can see the strong performance of our key value metrics, with adjusted EBITDA growing annually more than 20% and recurring levered free cash flow per share growing 17% annually over the last couple of years. Moving to slide 6, total POPs have increased 22% and our consolidated customer ratio by 5%. These metrics include the contribution of both organic growth and the change of perimeter in the period. If we focus on organic growth only, POPs have increased by 5%, therefore above our medium-term guidance, showing the strength of our current operations. DAS nodes have also increased by 10% in the semester, and we are working hard to make this new sector a significant contributor to Cellnex's future revenues. In this context, we are happy to announce that we have signed our first small cells project in Spain by reaching an agreement with Atletico de Madrid Football Club for the rollout of an exclusive DAS network at their new stadium. If we move now to slide 7, you can see a summary and the main characteristics of our most recent growth activity. As a summary, we have managed to increase our footprint by close to 6,500 towers in 6 months only when all the different stages are completed. As mentioned earlier, we have reached an agreement with Bouygues Telecom to acquire up to 600 additional sites. This is an extension of the agreement signed earlier this year, therefore under the same terms, and these additional sites will be transferred into Cellnex France no later than 2020. This new agreement represents an extension of our partnership with Bouygues Telecom only 6 months after our initial agreement for 3,500 sites. In the Netherlands, we have executed small transactions at an attractive valuation to continue growing in the country, and we have strengthened our position in Italy by acquiring the remaining 10% stake in Galata. Finally, we are expecting to close the acquisition of Swiss Towers in Q3 2017. This agreement is based on a unique master service agreement and sets the foundation of a strategic partnership with Sunrise. We are also securing organic growth through the 400 sites build-to-suit program and a right to match and therefore to support Sunrise small cells and DAS rollout in the country. All these deals together allow us to further expand into attractive markets, extend our relationship with key partners, and strengthen our value proposition based on the master service agreement. On slide 8, you can see that the result of the geographical diversification strategy, with more than half of our adjusted EBITDA to be generated outside Spain. We are always talking on a pro forma basis. Cellnex has thus become the key player in the European tower landscape. Moving to slide 10, I'm talking now about the business performance of the company. You can see the evolution of PoPs and our consolidated customer ratio, with increases mainly explained by consistent organic growth and change of perimeter. We have managed to add more than 1,000 organic PoP on a year-by-year basis, with 557 PoPs being generated this last semester and reaching a customer ratio of 1.64, including change of perimeter. Additionally, we are looking for new organic growth opportunities in all areas of activity. Our organic growth is above our guidance. Our decommissioning process stands at 45%, and we have reached 91% of our build-to-suit target. We continue to assess opportunities based on a full network service approach, so that we can crystallize our competitive advantage, our master service agreements. We are implemented our framework agreement with the fourth mobile network operator in Italy and closely interacting in order to meet their needs. Please note that a similar approach is being assessed in France with our clients. We have kicked off the 5G city project, which aims at designing and demonstrating in operational conditions a 5G network in several European cities. And finally, we have recently signed our first small sales project in Spain by reaching an agreement with Atlético de Madrid Football Club for the rollout of an exclusive DAS network at their new stadium. Our contract has a duration of 10 years and it will be the first stadium in Spain capable of offering a real mobile broadband experience to all the spectators. Moving to slide 11. Here you can find a detailed explanation of our adjusted EBITDA performance. You can see how the positive impact of the new TV channels last year is reinforced by the contribution of organic growth and efficiencies, as well as by change of perimeter. This explains the strong adjusted EBITDA growth in the period of 25%, which is even superior to our growth of revenues by 12%. Moving to our capital structure on slide 12, you can see our debt maturities profile as of today. Our structure has an average maturity of around 6.5 years. There is no material refinancing required before 2022, and we have a strong protection against a changing interest rate environment as a result of the combination of fixed rates and very long-term maturities. In summary, we have a long-term capital structure in place at a very attractive terms, with available liquidity between cash at hand and available credit lines accounting for more than 1.5 billion euros and providing us with plenty of flexibility to optimize available funding alternatives. Let me please now move on slide 13, where you can see our recurring levered free cash flow for the period. I would like to start by highlighting that the cash conversion ratio of EBITDA into recurring levered free cash flow in the period has been a very strong 83%. Regarding revenues, the contribution from telecom infrastructure services and broadcasting increase with a very well contained cost base is leading to an adjusted EBITDA growth of 25%. When compared to the same period of last year. Maintenance CapEx is in line with our guidance. Our change in working capital tends to neutral. Interest paid reflect our capital structure as of June, and taxes reflect the payments schedule in the year, as well as our management measures in place. All in all, we are showing today a 12% revenue growth, which implies more than doubling our adjusted EBITDA growth when compared to the last year's performance. Moving now to our balance sheet on slide 14, Cellnex leverage for the period reaches 4.6 times net debt annualized adjusted EBITDA, including the contribution from all closed transactions, both in debt and adjusted EBITDA. Compared to December 2016, our balance sheet mostly reflects the increase in debt instruments and its associated cash inflow, with proceeds to be used for the acquisition of the remaining stake in Galata, the closing of Swiss Towers deal, and the transfer of sites from Bouygues Telecom. Moving to slide 15, and as a summary, let me please highlight that we are presenting again a very solid set of results. We are posting a strong and consistent organic growth coupled with progress on our additional value creation alternatives initiatives. We are seeing an increased momentum in the European tower outsourcing process, as proved by having been able to extend our relationship with key European players. And finally, we are reiterating our guidance for the year, which will need to be adjusted upwards with Swiss Tower's contribution when this deal is finally closed. The following section, the frequently asked questions section, addresses several high-level topics that I believe you are raising very often to us. But anyway, I am more than happy, we are more than happy to answer any questions you may have, so let's please open the line for any question you may have.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a first question from Simon Coles from Barclays.
Hi guys, thanks for taking the questions. So on the Bouygues deal, I guess it's a positive sign that you signed further towers from them. Is this a sign that your services and benefits are being really appreciated by an MNO, and can we see scope for further deals in the future with Bouygues? And then on your small cells transaction, is this a sign that you're seeing other customers other than MNOs that are interested in purchasing small cell solutions from yourselves? And then finally, I guess on financial flexibility, you said that you're going to pay for Bouygues and Sunrise in the following quarter, and you have $1.5 billion of available cash flow. Are you still happy with your financial flexibility today? Thank you.
Hi Simon, thank you for your questions. Let me please maybe start by your second one. Today we are mostly approaching mobile operators. We are today focusing mostly on indoor coverage on the solutions. The obvious customers for these solutions is mobile operators, and the first initiatives we are trying to implement on outdoor coverage on small cells. The obvious target is mobile operators. On the first question, maybe José Manuel. Yeah. Well,
maybe you and I do the end.
Okay.
The
perfect. Well, we are very happy to announce the extension of our cooperation with Bouygues. Just maybe 6 months after agreeing a fantastic deal as of January this year. We would love to continue extending our cooperation. Today we are announcing a new transaction that is closed. That is one stage now we need to deliver on, and hopefully we can find more opportunities to continue cooperating.
Yeah, and finally, your question about the financial structure. Let me tell you that, yes, we do have enough flexibility not only to pay the projects you were suggesting, but also any other projects that could come. On top of that, we have no restriction to engage with new banks or tap the market if required. So I do think we have enough flexibility at this moment, yes.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Mark Gilbert from New Street Research.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for the question. So I guess the first one is just on your small cells deal for this football stadium. It'd be interesting to know, I mean, how many small cells is that exactly? What are the economics like? And are you kind of happy with growth opportunities within that deal you've done? And the second one is on your decommissioning target. So I see that is still 45%. And that was 45% in Q1. I mean, how's that kind of progressing? Are you still happy you can meet that target? And maybe it'd be good to understand why it's been a little bit slow to progress. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Max. Let me maybe start with the second. Please remember that the way we define progress is by contracting these deals. We announced one stage as of Q4 2016, an additional one in Q1 2017, and now we are delivering on this process. So you will see more progress as we manage to find new deals to be signed with mobile operators. So I guess that the progress is now being focused on the execution of the deals we announced during the previous quarters. Okay. On your question on small cells, we have here Alex Mester. So please, Alex.
Yeah, sure. In relation to the Atlético Madrid Wanda Stadium, and we've tried to illustrate because here we are mixing a bit technologies, and I think previously, Juanjo, you already illustrated the difference between DAS and a small cell. We should recall that that installation is going to be a DAS, distributed antenna systems. There are hundreds of antennas, but the unit that we agreed as a reporting unit, because sometimes it's difficult, is the nodes. So it's going to be above north of 100 nodes, the installation of Wanda Stadium.
Thank you very much. And sorry, if I just one further clarification on a slightly different topic, if you don't mind. On your deal with Bouygues, I don't think it was specified. Is that a built-to-suit deal, or is that from Bouygues' existing portfolio, please? Thank you.
No, it's acquisition of further sites from Bouygues. Existing towers.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Amos Coley from Morgan Stanley.
Yes, good morning, everyone. So just a couple of questions from my side. On slide 10 of the presentation, you talk about the implementation of a framework agreement with the fourth Italian MNO and ongoing discussions with a new customer in France. Can you just give a quick update on how those discussions are going and where they could end up as well, please? And then just on the phasing of the Bouygues towers, just from memory, I think you've got several phases on acquiring towers. I think from memory, the first agreement was 500 towers, then you had, I think, 1,800 towers, and now you've got a built-to-suit, and then today's agreement as well. I think you've done the 500 towers. Can you just talk about the phasing of the second agreement, which was 1,800 towers? When should we expect the ramp-up to happen on that agreement? Thank you.
I meant regarding your second question, it's you are right. We have already executed the first bunch of 500. In this term, you will see that in Q2, we acquire a small package of these 1,800 towers that you said. And in the following course, step by step, we should keep on acquiring Q after Q some further towers from Bouygues. Everything, if you remember this, 1,800 towers, we had to acquire them in the next 2 years, so in 2017 and 2018. So I think we are on good track to get it. On top of that, you were talking about the 1,200 towers which was built to suit. In order to execute these towers, we had longer, we had up to 5 years. So far we have not executed not a very large number. We are starting, okay? And back on track, as we have longer, we have more time, 5 years, compared to the first 1,800. And these 600 towers should be executed once the 1,800 towers from Bouygues, this 2 year period, it's about to end. So in the last period of these 2 years, so we were talking at the end of 2019, no later than 2020, we should execute this new agreement of up to 600 towers. Your first question, to be honest, I forgot, but
Yes.
Alex Mestre, who is our Chief Client Officer, who is with us, maybe he can answer.
Yeah, I think it was in relation to Iliad and the framework agreements and how the relationship is being built around Italy and France. Also, not being exactly the same, we have also in Switzerland, Salt being part of the same ownership as in France as in Italy. So we believe we are progressing very well in terms of having a framework agreement which is in a position to be deployed in France and in Italy. And based on that, we are already starting to work on the individual agreement. So the way that contractually this is being set up is a framework where all the pricing, technical elements and everything is being defined, and then we go executing by individual agreements, and is progressing well as expected, and we believe that the client is perfectly in line with their obligations in relation to the license.
Great, thank you. Can I ask just one quick follow-up, please, which is on the Sunrise deal in Switzerland. Just from memory, I think you took on two local partners. I think it might have been Swiss Life and also, perhaps more interestingly, Deutsche Telekom Capital Partners. Do you think the inclusion of DT, of having Deutsche Tel, does this open the window, you think, to doing further deals with Deutsche at a later date, either acquiring towers off them or maybe partnering with DT Capital Partners for further transactions?
Well, Emmet, you know that that our one of our key key points in our equity story is to build a relationship with different MNOs. And this is what we are doing, not only with the one you are referring now, but also with others. So the answer to you is yes, we are doing all our best. This is something very visible, and therefore you can raise the point, and you are right. But take into account that it's not the only one. But the answer to the question is yes, we are doing our best in order to explain to the MNOs our competitive advantage, what we can bring to the table in terms of a master service agreement. And let me tell you that as we advance, as we explain to different MNOs our value proposition, step by step we see that they are sensitive to this and they are open to discuss and to reach new agreements. So it is my feeling that this accelerating momentum that we set at the very beginning of the presentation is working well, and we are very happy with the work that is being now being done here at Cellnex with different MNOs.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Roshan Ranjit from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning. Just two quick questions for me. Firstly, just to confirm, the additional 600 towers are under the 2% inflator terms of the existing envelope agreement. And secondly, just maybe a wider point, how should we think about the structure of future deals? Because the Swiss Tower deal was based on a CPI-linked pricing environment, whereas the deal in France is obviously on a fixed inflator. Going forward, how can we think about your thinking on this point? And clearly it comes down to pricing discussions, but any help pointers here will be very helpful. Thank you.
Hi, Simon, this is Juan. We are, I would say, extremely satisfied with having been able to implement for the first time a fixed fee escalator. Remember that this 2% increase every year guaranteed by contract is above the historical inflation in the country. We will try to continue implementing these sort of alternatives on a case-by-case basis, and if it makes sense for us, for the customer. It is also true that traditionally our customers are being used to link contracts to inflation, and that is maybe a practice that is difficult at this stage to dramatically change. So I guess that we will continue to try and implement these sort of alternatives if it makes sense for both parties in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jonathan Dunn from Royal Bank of Canada.
Hi there. I had two questions. Could you just give us an update on, are you growing towers and POPs in some of the small markets like the UK and Netherlands? And then my second question is on the guidance. I may be oversimplifying things, but if I take the first half EBITDA, times it by 2 and then add 12, I get to the high end of the guidance already. I mean, is that the right way to think, that actually you'll more than likely beat the high end of guidance?
Hi, Jonathan. You are right. Your second question, regarding your question, you are right. You know, I think that all of you that you have been raising the points today, you know that we are a prudent company. Your estimation is fine. I think that you are doing the right estimation, and we do think that, as always, Cellnex step by step will commit and delivers, and I think this year will be a very good year. So yes, the answer, your maths are good. And regarding your first question, maybe Juan, you can explain.
Yeah, as you know, today the rest of Europe is comprised of France, Netherlands, and the UK. We are seeing the UK quite stable. France is mostly impacted by a change of perimeter, so the contribution of the new towers in the context of the agreement with Bouygues Telecom. And what is interesting is that we are seeing quite healthy organic growth, mostly coming from the Netherlands. We posted quite a good quarter, the previous one, in Q1. Q2, we are seeing more than 20 POPs being generated organically in the Netherlands, so very happy with its performance.
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Perrin Schott from Bank of America.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for taking the questions. I've got two, one focused on Switzerland, one focused on Italy. I guess when I look at the Switzerland EBITDA that you put into the guidance, it implies there's, I guess, quite a bit of work to do to reach your full run rate EBITDA target for the Swiss deal when it was announced. So I'm just wondering what proportion is new business and what proportion is cost cutting in terms of your plan. The second question on Italy, I think the cost control was pretty good in the quarter. Is there more to do on that front in Italy? And then are you seeing any discounting from tenants in the market? I know EI Towers a few days ago stated that they have been seeing this discounting tenants for volume, essentially leaving revenues flat. Have you been seeing this kind of trend? Thanks.
Thank you, Karin. On your second question, the answer is no. I mean, if you, for example, follow the quarterly revenues in Italy, there is a slight decline. Yeah, a slight decline, mostly coming from the contribution of Comscom. Comscom signed a new project in Italy related to a DAS project on the Olimpico de Roma Stadium. Those revenues were booked in Q1 2017. This contract has a significant component of non-recurrent revenues. So also, if you compare Q4 2016 with Q1 2017, Italy's revenues are extremely increased dramatically. Now in Q2, we are coming back to more normalized levels because we no longer have this non-recurring component of this contract. But in terms of relationship with customers, we have not seen any price pressure. We are continuing generating organic POPs from traditional MNOs. It's interesting to see that all mobile Italian operators are pragmatic in terms of using our portfolio to densify the network. So other than this, I would say one-off effect of the Comscom contract, everything is in line and we are not seeing any pricing pressure. On your first question,
you said something. Well, listen, you were referring to page 15, to the financial outlook. In adjusted EBITDA, we are implementing there in the adjusted EBITDA just the proportional Sunrise impact of the year. So I do think that there is nothing special apart from that, no?
No, let me try, Paring, and please correct me if I understand your question properly. We have, at the moment of the announcement of the transaction, we announced a 37 million EBITDA contribution on a run rate basis upon the completion of the build-to-suit program. We are seeing some years before we reach that level. Before that, upon closing of the transaction, we will simply expect the contribution of the portfolio as it is today. So basically, the figure we are adding in our guidance is basically the proportional portion in 2017, but based on a full year basis on the portfolio as it is today. Obviously, from that point of view, or from that starting point, we will start implementing the build-to-suit program. and we should be reaching the pro forma EBITDA in some years.
Okay, sorry, if I could just clarify. So if I take the 12 billion, I guess that's two quarters contribution multiplied by two, so the annualized contribution from the Swiss towers is 24 million, and the full run rate is 37. So what contribution is just the remainder all from the built-to-suit project?
No, it is. You have an underlying point which I cannot agree, which is what we say in footnote 1 of page 15 is expected contribution in 2017 of 12 million euros, taking into account deal close in Q3 2017. We say Q3 2017. We do not say at the beginning of Q3 2017. So you are doing a wrong hypothesis. Here, as we explain, and also this is public info, you can find also in the communication of Sunrise at the moment of the Swiss project being communicated, you can see there perfectly well the initial EBITDA of the Swiss deal. This 12 million euros is calculated as if we were going to do the closing by mid-August, roughly speaking. So if you do your math, you will see that you can improve that figure up to more than 30 million euros for the first year. For the first year, for 2017. So this would be the answer to your question.
Okay, that's very, very clear. Thanks a lot. Could I just follow up on Italy and the Iliad negotiations? Is that whole process in any way complicated by the fact that clearly Iliad are waiting for remedy towers and space for co-location from the JV? I mean, do you expect this to take quite a while?
This is Alex Mestre. No, I don't think so. I think the calendar is pretty well defined by the remedies, and as far as we know, everything is going on track. So there is no shifts on the calendars or anything like that in relation to the other elements beyond the obligation deployments of Iliad, like the elements that you are saying on the remedy package. So we do not foresee any shift in any calendars there.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for taking my two questions. The first one is regarding the organic growth profile in the second quarter and also in the third, and at which extent we have started to see, if any, impact from the new roaming like at home regulations at the end, how in tourist receiving countries like Spain and Italy, the mobile data traffic is booming due to the roaming regulations, and at which extent are you having some impact or not in your organic growth, not only in this second quarter but also in coming ones. And the second question is related with the with the other business lines, particularly in broadcasting and in network services. Basically, in the second quarter were flat year on year. How should we understand the evolution, particularly of network services in coming quarters, given that now in the second quarter the performance was flat year on year, falling clearly in the first quarter? What should we expect for the second half? Thank you.
Okay, on your first question, this is a very interesting point. I think normally the legal elements comes after the reality. In this case, the legal elements came before the reality. The infrastructure is, especially this summer in Spain, we are seeing the need for reinforcing some coverage in specific areas, specifically touristic areas. However, this is for this year is not fully planified in terms of network deployment, but we believe that this is going to be one of the additional elements that may drive some additional requirement on densification on and we see that clearly in Spain on high density areas, especially for touristic visitors. So we foresee that as an interesting element to accelerate some densification programs, but not yet fully planified. So this is also to be honest with you, we think that during the course of the coming months, this is going to be fully implemented in terms of network design and everything by the MNOs.
Your second question was regarding network services and others, the evolution of the next quarters. If Fernando, you take into account what happened last year, you are right. Your suggestion is that the second half of the year tends to be better than the first half of the year regarding network services and others. This is also my feeling for this year. Here in this business line is not as regular as the others, maybe it has a little bit jumps, but is not, in my view, I'm not very worried about that, and I'm pretty sure that that will follow the same trend that as last year. Anyway, all these things are taken into account in the adjusted EBITDA financial outlook for the full year 2017. This is a very, I think that the cash flow we are presented to you are rock solid. There is no bad news. I think we have now the optionality, just optionality upwards to grow, to increase, and to create further value for our shareholders. The company is performing well. Your first question was in the very right direction, and we feel confident that this will be a very good year for Cellnex.
Okay, many thanks.
Perfect. So as we have reached the end of the session, I would like to thank you all for your time today, and as always, I will be at your disposal to answer any remaining questions. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.